War.
War never changes. And neither does the show. We don't evolve. But creatures on Fallout do. In this episode, we're reviewing the popular new TV show from Amazon, Fallout, with your host, Jake Sherbin, and guest, Tom, nerdy than you are, Chatfield. Hi, Tom.
What's up, Jake?
Are you excited?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think this surpassed... I guess this is spoilers to our own rating, but I think we can safely say this surpassed all of our expectations.
It was good.
I know you were pretty worried about it.
I went into it with a not expecting anything.
A cautious attitude.
So if it was terrible, I would be like, oh, okay, I didn't you know what you know, I wasn't expecting much out of it. But it was not terrible.
I agree with that. And with that, we cue the music. Fresh takes. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. Welcome to our show. We're doing Fallout. Tom, hello.
Hey.
How are you, man?
I'm phenomenal, actually.
Good. Yeah. I'm feeling it, too.
Life's actually pretty good right now. I mean, you know, it's getting warmer out, getting that vitamin D again,
yeah.
Getting back to normalcy.
I know, we're supposed to be like 80s today, I heard.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm feeling in this house a little bit. I'm like, ooh, can't quite do sweatshirt weather anymore. I gotta like pare down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, yeah, just life's been going pretty good right now. Good. We've been doing a lot of, you know, doing a lot of projects, getting a lot of things accomplished.
Well, let's talk about it. What are you nerding out on? Or what are projects that may not be nerdy?
Well, I mean, everything in my life really revolves. I am nerdier than you, so.
Yes.
What had been actually been like three main things. So obviously, first one would be Fallout.
Yes,
because I mean, it just came out, and we were doing a review, and I think I binged watched it in like a night and a half.
Yeah, it was like 2 days. You were like, "Hey, the last episode was hype," and I was like, "What do you mean last? Shit, you're done."
Were you on like the third episode?
I was on the third episode. I mean, I finished it the night yesterday, so. I ended up finishing the night afterwards.
So it helped me a little bit, though, because, like, so my wife and I originally started watching it together, yep. And, you know, I told her that we were going to be reviewing it, like, this weekend, and she goes, it's fine. You need to watch it so you can review it. She's like, I won't be able to watch it all with you, so just go and do it. And then so, like, Thursday after it came out, she works later because she runs a community ed swimming program.
Right.
And so she works late, and so I just finished. I think I did the first, like, 2.5 episodes the first night, and then second night it was, like, five episodes straight.
I was curious about that because I wanted to, like, watch it more, and I stay up later than my wife. My wife is a huge Fallout fan, and then I might bring her thoughts in, too, later on if we do a second viewing. But huge Fallout fan. I thought it was coming out on Wednesday because they said it was coming out a day before. So, and I thought I heard 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. Eastern time. But it was actually 9 p.m. 9 p.m. instead of 9 a.m.
It aired at 8 because it was,
Central Standard Time at 8. But I thought it was going to be in the morning. I was like, ooh, this would be a perfect opportunity to watch pretty much the whole like season one. And she pretty much turned around and was like, yeah, I will murder you. And I was like, okay. And then that night we watched like, we didn't even watch the first episode and she passed out. And I was like, come on.
I mean, you were there physically. I didn't leave you. I didn't watch it without you.
I mean, we rewatched the first night the next night we ended up rewatching the first episode. But then she fell asleep in episode 3. And then yesterday, I started episode 4. I'm like, babe, I'm sorry, but we're moving on. Like, you'll catch up through context clues, or I'll answer questions, or you can Google it. But we're moving on. We have I think five episodes left, and we watched it all that night. She ended up passing out like right before the big battle scene at the end.
Oh, that was good.
I know. I kept waking her up like, wake up, think shit's happening. Like, but yeah. Before we get into it, so nerding out Fallout for sure.
Yep, Fallout, and then Well, I mean, any of our TikTok viewers would have seen a hint to this, but we have been working on the Witello Dynasty pretty heavily. And so, yeah, like last weekend we started, Brandon, Jake, and I all started painting that up while we're trying to get ready for WAFest. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of painting with that.
Yeah, you've been going to town on it.
I mean, it's my thing. So.
Yeah, I feel guilty a little bit, but I also know that this is something that you love to do too. So I'm happy to see it that's happening.
And I did have a question on this. I don't know whether it is our the coverage of the type of paint that we're using, or we were all just really messed up when we were doing it, because there were so many like non-based spots on everybody's. So I'm blaming it more on our state of mind that we were in as we were doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably the state of mind, probably me a little bit, because there was a point where, like, I couldn't tell where I was painting. I'm like, this looks like it's done.
For beginner's purposes, I probably should have used not gray primer.
Maybe.
Because it's a little harder to see, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
We're
not expecting perfection, or at least I wasn't.
It looks pretty good though. I mean, it really, all it took me was, you know, an extra 30 seconds per model to try to put it on a second coat, cover up those gaps. It was fine.
Nice. So
and then the last thing that we've been nerding out on the last couple weeks, my wife loves Call of Duty's Zombies.
We
played that a little bit when you were over. But yeah, the broke out the 360. Been playing a lot of Black Ops 2 Zombies.
Nice.
The old classic.
It's almost 20 years old.
It's like two generations ago. I know.
It's weird to think like PS3, Xbox 360 is nearly 20 years old when, like, to me, it seems like it just came out yesterday.
Yeah, that was like my heyday, was 360 and PlayStation 3. That's when I really...
Well, I think it's just interesting because I don't have a PS5. I'm still PS4, but I have the PC. And these kids are like, I'm going to go home and play the PS5. I'm like, oh, I wish I had a kid. I was a kid who had parents who can just buy me things.
Right.
That'd be nice.
But yeah, that's pretty much been what I've been nerding out on. Yeah.
For me, Fallout for sure. That's been like life for the last 3 days, and pretty good living. Mm-hmm. Well, ironically, pretty good living.
Yeah.
You know, about a TV show about that. So great living. One Piece before that, as always, still going on strong. We're at Dressrosa, which means nothing to you, nope. Tom, because you're not that side of nerdy.
No. You That's anime nerds weird. Smell weird.
Maybe nerdier than me, but I'm weeber than you.
Oh, yeah. Weebier.
Yeah.
Is that a verb term? Weebier.
And I'm not even that far on that scale. Like...
Yeah.
Not that far at all. But yeah, One Piece for sure. That's kind of just our go-to backup. If we don't have anything else, we throw in One Piece. And sometimes it's just nice to like binge watch 3-4 hours and go like 10 episodes of it a night. Other than that, when I have free time, Baldur's Gate, Act 3. It's getting my D&D fix because I'm getting excited for next weekend when we do our session.
I got to start writing some more.
Oops. Reminder, Tom, we have a session. Our campaign start in 1 week.
Yeah.
With six players?
Should be six. Well, I mean, if they show up.
If they show up, yeah. I know. Well, one was 50-50, and he already declined the last one, so.
Yeah, right.
That's good. And the other one, he has to plan carefully now because, you know, baby.
He's got a kid.
So... This is only shot for freedom, so maybe he'll come.
Yeah.
We'll see. Watch one. Either Donald or Brandon or Tony will cancel.
Not show up, yeah.
It's like, dang it, we can't all just get or come together, but I feel like that's just D&D for you.
It is.
And the last little thing, I know you said this, and I said I decided I was going to, because I was like, do I play Baldur's Gate 3 before Tom shows up? And I'm like, nah, I got to throw him Fallout 4 a little bit. So, Fallout 4, and I was playing Fallout Shelter while I was watching Fallout 2. And you want to know what specific scene got me to play Fallout Shelter?
Which one?
Or specific scenes. When the Vault Dwellers keep having sex with each other.
Yeah.
Because
when they go to make new Vault Dwellers, they just have the little, like, woo.
They're all, like, happy. And I'm like, this is what this reminds me of.
It was a good game.
It still is. I think there's an expansion, too, for the TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's, like, the only downside about the game. It's, like, once you beat it, you kind of just beat it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a certain point that you hit.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm just maintaining. This isn't fun. So, all right. I should have just stuck it at 10 minutes. All right, should we get into the news?
Let's do it.
It's time for a news quickie. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into the news. Fallout news. Season 2 is likely.
Oh, I would assume so.
I don't... Yeah. They didn't really, like, make it clear that they had plans for Season 2 or Season 3. But it hasn't been officially announced, but it's been heavily rumored that Season 2 is coming.
Yeah, I think it was one of those ones where they were judging its popularity and, you know, how much it was going to be received, or how well it was going to be received, and I think...
Critically, it's received well.
I mean, I
assume it's been received well
by fans.
I was at a store, actually. I was talking to a random salesman. He's trying to sell me a phone, and he was talking about like what I was doing recently on the Don't Evolve Me podcast. And I was like, I'm getting ready to review about Fallout. And as I was like saying that, some random dude was like, Is it good? And I'm like, I watched it one episode. It's phenomenal. So that was... moving on with news, just so we can get over with and get into the Fallout action. Dave Bautista has been cast as the villain of the upcoming Avatar The Last Airbender movie with Adult Aang. I have a feeling he's going to be an earthbender.
I would assume so.
I think I'm assuming big, burly earthbender. But I don't... Yeah.
Irony would be he's like a waterbender.
The irony would be, like, if he's, like, more of, like, that small tactician of, like, a waterbender or maybe an airbender that somehow survived 300 years or 200 years or something like that. But, yeah, I'm like, Dave Bautista, yeah, probably a big, burly earthbender, dude. At least voice-wise, you'd think.
I mean, you got a typecast, I mean.
maybe he's changing it up.
He could be. I doubt it, but...
Denise Crosby is leaving Star Trek Generations because she doesn't want to be a token blonde.
Oh.
I didn't really read into it further, but I'm like, it's interesting news.
I don't know, blondes were token.
Apparently. Oh. I mean, Star Trek does have a history of token blondes.
Oh, 7 of 9. Those glorious Borgs that she had. Leave it at that.
All right, last little bit. New Captain America footage. Was that CinemaCon? CinemaCon. General Ross apparently asked Captain America to rebuild the Avengers, and that was like the big highlight.
So is that the Captain America from the TV show?
Yes. It'll be Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson.
Okay.
So the Falcon Captain America.
Got it.
And he was a pretty in the comics, he's like Captain America for like 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
So I'm excited for it. I heard this movie is not great, though. Mm. But that's kind of just been the trend of Marvel lately.
Yeah.
We'll see. Deadpool 3 is hopefully going to be amazing.
I mean, I don't know how it's not going to be.
If that movie sucks, all hope
then is lost. We're just giving up on Marvel.
I think so. I think that's the trend. All right, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Fallout. War never changes. And they fucking said it on the TV show.
Oh, that was so hype. They said it a couple times, and I was like, yeah.
Did they?
I think they said it twice.
In the last episode, or?
Yeah, I think so. Because I know the wife said it in the board meeting, and then somebody else said it. I thought right at the end, somebody from the Brotherhood or somebody. I thought it did, but could just be.
Maybe. I will say, towards the end, I was getting, like, tired. It was, like, nearly 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish this. We were watching it. And I was trying to play Fallout Shelter 2, and I'm like, dude, oh, shit, pay attention, ADHD.
Got to play two things at once.
I have to.
Yeah, I mean.
Just the for anyone who has ADHD, and I think neurotypicals also experience this to a smaller degree, we have this thing called, like, two brains, like, two spaces. I hate saying two voices because it sounds crazy. It's, like, it's the same voice. It's the same, like, person controlling the voices. It's like if you are able to speak two different like patterns of speech at the same time.
Sure.
But like you have to like occupy both spaces. And so like when I watch TV in the background, I have to like do something on the phone.
I almost wonder if I'm like have just never been diagnosed with ADHD.
Maybe.
Cuz like I'm the same way. Like I'll be playing a mobile game when I'm watching a show and like dual attentions. And like when I clean things, my wife makes fun of me because I'll start in one room and then I'll find this one thing that needs to go back somewhere into like my bedroom. So I'll bring it back there. And then I see my shelf that's like really disorganized. Mm-hmm. And so I start doing that. And then I end up in the garage somehow. And my wife is like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know.
You might have ADHD. There's also a symptom is you're my friend. And I feel like all my friends are just ADHD in some way.
I mean, it could be. I mean, the general nerd community has a lot of AST and ADHD. And let's be perfectly honest.
Yep. Man Weekend, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just like Man Weekend. We're all just playing board games. So what do you think, you know, the prototypical Man Weekend is either hunting or building something or mm-hmm. drinking out in the shed.
Well, I mean, we drank. It's a modified Man Weekend.
Just, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I wondered it about you. If you do, it's like not obvious.
It's mild.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say mild, but it's like the symptoms that right. like appear. So, maybe. All right. So, Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
First impression.
Just overall of it?
Let's do like a first initial impressions, like when you watch the first episode. Well, okay. Let's talk about, we did this in a little bit of our preview. Let's kind of recap that a little bit. I think we were both cautiously optimistic,
yes,
at least, if not hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
I know I made you watch the trailer, which
I was happy about.
It was pretty good. And we could now see why.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think like I wasn't hyped about the show until about a month beforehand.
Yeah.
Because I heard about it. I was like, cool. I'm happy they're doing a Fallout TV show. But so much shit has been done wrong. And like, there's just so many like video game adaptations that just kind of fail.
Sure.
So like my hype up to like a month until that trailer was small.
Mm-hmm.
But then that trailer kind of popped out and I was like, oh. And it was also Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother, wrote Westworld. I'm like, okay.
He did the first, I think he only did 3 episodes of this, right?
Of Westworld?
No, of Fallout. He didn't write all the...
No, but he's the showrunner.
Right.
So, like, this is, like, his show, plus Lisa Jones, I believe, is the other showrunner, too. So, I was getting up there in hype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, so first, what's your first, like... When you started watching it,
I was honestly, I felt the first episode was a bit slow.
Yeah.
Like when I was thinking, or when I first saw it and like the Raiders came in, I was like, ugh, those Raiders look terrible. Like I'm thinking of like straight scummy wastelanders from like 3 and fiends from New Vegas and stuff like that. I'm just like, and then the only other thing is that I thought was like, I almost thought like the Vault Dwellers were too cheesy, like they almost like played it up just like a notch too far.
But then realized
that I was like, that's probably how they would be like.
Well, it's also was the point if you think about it. Like first episode, first impressions. You're thinking that, right?
Right.
Now with all the information we learn from episode 1 to episode 8,
mm-hmm.
those weren't Raiders.
Right.
They were remnants of NCR.
Of NCR. So yeah, they weren't quite as...
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking at first, because they said they were just Raiders, and I was like, oh, that's dumb. That doesn't look like Raiders that I remember. Where's their, like, tire armor and stuff like that? So, but yeah, no, I think, looking back on it now, I'm just like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Plus, like, the Vault Dwellers, too, I think experiment-wise, they were supposed to be cheesy and uplifting.
Right.
Like, that was the desired philosophy for that vault.
Well, are we going into straight spoilers here? I mean, we're just kind of spitballing this, or
you know, I never think about spoilers, but yes, we're talking spoilers. This is
okay. So yeah, warning everybody, don't listen to anything past this point if you don't want spoilers.
Yeah, we're spoiling it for you.
We're spoiling everything.
This is we're releasing this on Tuesday. If you're listening to this, we're talking about it.
Right. Seeing as that everybody technically is pre-war, mm-hmm. there, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
The cheesiness of the vault. Because mm-hmm. it's literally pre... It, like, their remnants of pre-war. They were alive during the pre-war, most of them, and or at least their leaders were, and they're the ones leaders the were. Leaders were, and they're the ones that are influencing the culture of 33 and 32.
What'd you think about the changes of ghouls?
Because
like all the leaders, they're technically ghouls, right? Or are they frozen?
No, they're frozen.
Okay,
because they had the cryo tubes in 31.
Okay,
yeah, and so then they just unthaw. Like it, when they need a new overseer, they unthaw somebody from 31. They get elected.
Yeah,
and then their offspring continues on.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it took me a while to like figure out what was happening with Fall 31.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea. I was just thinking, like, I was basically thinking, what evil experiment are they running? Because I'm just thinking of the games. It's always some really, you know, but I didn't really think that they were going to be pre-war frozen people from Vault-Tec, which was cool, because I don't think they've ever done that.
It's a cool concept.
They've never done that as far as, like, freezing the Vault-Tec CEOs and keeping them alive. They did the cryotubes in 4.
Yeah.
So they've kind of touched on that, but yeah, the fact that it was like people live from pre-war.
So I guess we're just going into the heavy shit, which is like I'm trying to do more free flow, kind of like the free flow conversation of it. What do you think the changes of Vault-Tec? I feel like that they changed the lore a little bit that like it actually made sense, because I never really understood Vault-Tec's like whole mission, right? Like. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're selling you the end of the world. We're going to get rich. But I'm like, what does it matter if, like, the world's going to die? Like, what's your gain here?
Yeah, I do like that they fleshed out their reasoning for that. Whereas, like, their whole idea was that, like, time is, like, the number one power. And if they can have time to, like, let everybody else die, and they're the only faction that's existing anymore, that makes more sense on why they were, you know, so heavily putting into, you know, the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it was just like, oh, it's this company that they're kind of evil and they experiment on people and they wanted to make money by fear, and then the Chinese attacked.
Yeah.
That was always my assumption of them before.
Yep. Same.
But it made it a little more, it made a little more sense how they fleshed it out, saying like we're purposely trying to make the war happen so that we can be the only power. Yeah. Like, we're going true capitalism, but our weapon is time instead of money and power and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the ability to freeze yourself and essentially develop and control different vaults. I also really like that the ending episode where they talk about, like, what they're going to do with each vault.
Right.
And just like, hey, we have hundreds of vaults. Here is a vault for you, and you can do whatever you want with it. No one's got to know. I'm like, that makes sense. Like, that makes sense, like, why every, like, vault is different. Some of it's control. It's a perfect, like, design vault. And some of it's, like, fucked up evil experiments. And, like, why it's so different.
And I have vindication now for my long-term theory that Vault-Tec was the ones behind the war.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they basically, like, put it out there and said, how do we have a guarantee that, you know, the end's going to happen, and we're going to actually make money off these vaults.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to drop the bombs ourselves. And I was just like, yes! Like, I literally, like, shouted out loud, and I was like, yeah.
I've been looking into this since we've had our Fallout video game nostalgia, which we need to do one of those pretty soon, because it's been a while. But I think, I don't know if it confirms it. Do you think it 100% confirms that Vault-Tec did it?
I think it leans very heavily to it.
Yeah. I think they're a major player regardless. Mm-hmm. I think that's what that definitely confirms, is they had a hand in it. And I think they always had a hand in it.
And I think the fact that they were pushing so hard the idea that Vault-Tec wants to be the only one remaining in the end makes me like feel like they're really pushing that fact. And then all of a sudden, right in the board meeting, they're like, yeah, we need to drop the bombs. And I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. What they've been pushing so heavily right now, because they were just like, time. We need to be the only ones. We need to be coming on top.
I have a thought for you. So let's go back to like the first episode a little bit, and we'll lead to like my, because I just had a theory that kind of popped in my head. So I'm not sold that Vault-Tec is the only one who bombed everybody. I don't think they had that power.
I think they started it, and then like maybe they nuked the Chinese, and then the Chinese nuked back.
Well, let's lean into the theory. So we start off, the first episode is like, it's 2077. We're in the alternative Fallout universe. We're in Hollywood. We're talking with actors. It's like, it's really similar to our world, but it's very different in the same way. And when I was watching the first like 10 minutes of like that world, that time period, I had a thought of like, I honestly would watch a Fallout, like a pre-war Fallout TV series, because I think that that universe is just interesting. Just like the threat, the notion that, hey, bombs can go off at any time. And I think it would be a cool like look into the lore of Fallout 2. But that's like spin-offs for futures. I don't want to I want like more seasons of this show before we get more spin-offs. But when the bombs started dropping, I thought it was interesting that like when Howard wasn't like in a vault already prepared. I thought I forget exactly why he got ousted from his role. It seemed like he was more back, you know, playing the cowboy at birthday parties.
I think it was because he confronted his wife about, and she probably divorced him and then like ruined his reputation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Voltec is powerful enough to do that. And she was a seat, like, executive of them.
Yeah.
And, like, most of his work that he was doing to making the money was from Voltec. So that's what I'm assuming happened.
Yeah. That was my thought process, but I'm like, did they talk about it at all? I feel like they led into it, or they hinted at it, but they never, like...
The only reason why I say I think his wife left him is because two of the dads were talking, and they go... Well, how does one be, or how does a guy come from being such a famous movie star to working a kid's birthday? And the other dad goes, alimony. And I'm like, okay, yep.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, so the scene, the first bomb dropped, and I thought the thumbs up was interesting, and the daughter was like, is it your thumb or mine? And you can just tell she's scared because, like, it's bigger. And I thought it was just a cool scene. Like, it's just smoke. It's just smoke in the city, and it got bigger. And then the panic drop. I thought that was one of my favorite scenes of the whole show, is just seeing that moment. And I think that, like, Fallout 4, they showed it. It was just, it's just cool to see, like, everyone's reaction. Because I think we all kind of played with that idea. What happened if a bomb would drop? What would you do? Where would you go? And so, but I think, like, the most harrowing thing is... when he was running with the horse and they're galloping along. And this kind of leads back to the theory of Voltec, is the first bomb dropped, right? First bomb drop, you see the one bomb. And as they're running, you see several bombs drop. Which one bomb is fucking scary enough. If you're escaping and you see multiple bombs dropping around you, like, that's like, I feel like you just gotta accept death at that point. Sure. But my theory is, what if, like, the first bomb dropped, and then, like, moments later, like, maybe minutes, or then the other bombs dropped? What if the bomb dropped, and then either Voltec dropped the first one, and then it was the Chinese after that?
Yep.
Or what if it's the vice versa? Chinese bombed once as, like, a warning shot, and then Voltec's like, yeah, that's not gonna do. Let's help them out. And then dropped several others then. I feel like that theory makes sense with the whole idea of, like, yeah, I want everyone dead. I want this world to be wiped off so we can reclaim it. So that's kind of like my theory at it. But I also like how they didn't really answer the questions of, like, if it did Voltec actually do it, or is it Voltec, was that their idea, was they're going to do it?
I'm assuming in subsequent seasons we'll see a lot more flashbacks.
Yeah,
prior to the bombs dropping of the fallout of Coop figuring out that his wife is an evil overlord. Ooh, man, that'd be tough too. What if just tomorrow you just like realize that Sapphire was like an evil overlord, like a terrible, like just atrocious human being? Like, how would you? I don't know how I would handle that.
I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
I'd be in denial.
But
I'd
like,
I'd be impressed too. Like, oh shit, you're like that. Fuck, you have that much power? Oh.
Why are we living in our current state then?
I'm undercover.
But yeah, no, like if you just straight up like hurt, like how, like he did, he like, you just heard it from her mouth.
Yeah.
You know, you're like undeniable proof. Yeah. That'd be rough. Sidetrack. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just making sure. I think our computer isn't crashing.
Yeah. We don't want that.
So, but yeah. All right. Let's get into the first vault because we transitioned from the first episode. I feel like the first episode's a good one to get into because we kind of start establishing the characters. Mm-hmm. So we kind of established Howard, the ghoul prior. And it was really interesting because, like, Sapphire, like, I think it was, like, episode 3, episode 4. She's like, wait, the actor dude and the ghoul are the same person?
Oh, she didn't realize that right away?
She didn't realize it until episode, like, 3 or 4. And I was like, are you? Yeah. Like, it's the same actor. Like, I knew it immediately. And I, well, no, I actually knew. I think in the commercials, like, it's Walter Goggins, right? In the yep. in the trailer. So, like, and Walter Goggins played the ghoul, so I didn't think it was, like, a big surprise. But she didn't know about it until, like, episode 3, episode 4. And
I
was like...
I knew that from the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. They're doing the Fallout 4 thing with the yeah. salesman. I was like, oh, sweet. Perfect. Yeah.
Like, it's a cool story. So, I don't think she... I don't even know if she watched the trailer, so maybe that's why. She didn't really pick up on it. So, but yeah, we established Howard a little bit, just at least pre-war. Then we get into Lucy in the vault doors, and mm-hmm. we get, like, vault life. Very different from, like, outside world. What's your, first impressions of the vault? We get to see vault life. We get to see Lucy.
There's a lot of stuff that they hinted at that I was like, I didn't even think of that. When they were making all the jokes about cousin loving and how it's okay when you're kids, but, yeah. you know, it's not sustainable long term. And I'm like, dude, that just got deep right there. And then, like, Chet, her cousin, who was, like, in love with her. And I'm just like, oh, that. I guess that's how it would be. Everyone's yeah. going to be related when you only got 300 people.
I immediately thought of, like, Fallout Shelter. I was like, oh, yeah, trying to breed, like, kids. And, like, oh, we can't. We're cousins. It's like, oh.
We need some new blood up in here. No, I mean, like I said, initially I thought they were a bit too cheesy. But then knowing mm-hmm. the rest of the background, I was like, okay, yeah. that does make more sense.
I love the cheesiness. I thought it just made, like, especially Lucy, just, like, her character. Like, seeing her, like, being this, like, badass, like, chick with a lot of skills. Just her adaptability to, like, the situation with, the Raiders. And just her overall, like, go lucky, I'm trying to be the best person possible.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, yeah.
No, I mean, it's been a long time since I played the games, and I mean, like, looking back, I'm like, yeah, I mean, the Vault Dwellers are really cheesy and stuff, but
yeah.
No, I did like it. Like, it grew on me really fast.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on, like, the whole initial scene with, like, the Fallout shelter? You know, oh, I have to marry the guy from Vault 32, like, we're gonna have sex immediately, and she was like all for it, you know, not cousin stuff, the real thing. And then, like, as like after, like, they do the deed and stuff, he, like, she realizes that he has radiation mm-hmm. and that he's from the surface, and it says the word Raider.
Mm-hmm. I immediately, as soon as they opened the vault door, I was like, these guys are Raiders.
Yeah,
I was like, they're not vault dwellers. I saw a dude with a full neck tattoo, and I'm yeah. like, nah. This is sus.
What's funny is, like, the second time I watched it, I then, like, noticed. Like, I thought they were weird, but I didn't think, like, oh, they're not vault dwellers. I'm like, oh, that's my first thought was, like, what the experiment? Like, what type of vault is this? Mm-hmm. That was my first question. It wasn't, like, are they even vault dwellers? The second time around, I kept seeing, like, you know,
the Raider-ness.
Yeah, the Raider-ness. And, like, oh, okay. And then Sapphire, who fell asleep during the first episode, was just like, they're from the surface. I'm like, you already watched this. She's like, you're not saying anything. And, like, in my head, I'm like, this is the second time for me. Mm-hmm. Technically the second time for you. But I thought it was a cool moment because I didn't catch it right away. So the surprise was just like, ah, okay, what's happening here? So then they get the initial Raider attack. They blew up Vault 32, or like
the entrance to it.
The entrance to it. And then they left with the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know the answers now. But what was your thought? Like, what did you think?
I was kind of happy. I was like, oh, cool. We're doing a Fallout 3 take on this. Yeah. Like, you're trying to find your dad. I was like, I love it. It's a, mm-hmm. like a subtle hint
mm-hmm.
to, like, the game.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of subtle hints, when he was putting in the code, you notice that the first three numbers were 101?
I didn't catch that. Nice.
Yeah.
That reminds me, though. I love that they use all the sounds from the video games.
Yes. Oh, and the hacking scene.
Yeah.
Where the brother was on the computer, and I'm mm-hmm. like, they used the exact minigame. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like we could spend a whole episode
just talking about the Easter eggs.
The Easter eggs, just the straight up just appreciation. Like, I love the rad sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anytime there was like stuff, they did the rads. And, like, it sounds cheesy, but, like, I feel like the shows that just lean into, like, what...
The made, source.
Yeah. Lean into it. It can be cheesy. One Piece leaned into its own cheesiness, too. And, like, it, if you lean into it, it will usually turn out great. You know? And I feel like we... I don't know if, like, it's Hollywood or who it is. Especially, like, early 2000s with, like, X-Men. They're like, oh, those... silly costumes, let's make them all black and mm-hmm. functional. It's like, nah, it can work, but it's not, you can't work for everything. Like, you gotta lean into the strengths of the medium that you're doing, and I feel like the show did that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that they also have, like, they didn't go super woke with Fallout either.
Yeah.
Like, they just straight up put strong minority and female characters in it. And didn't, like, it didn't seem forced mm-hmm. at all. Like, The Witcher seemed very forced.
Yeah.
With its, you know, with its wokiness.
Fucking Netflix Avatar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we have women here, and they're all just like, we're here to help you. It's mm-hmm. like...
No, you just make strong characters.
Yeah.
And put them in that, like, don't... Yeah. Sorry. Again, side tangent.
Yeah. But. No, I agree. Like... I'm for the idea of, like, being woke, but if you're doing it purposely, like, oh, I want to make this character a woman because I want to make, like...
Right.
For diversity reasons. Like, no, just make a strong character. Like, make a product without thinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
through. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just make characters, make great characters, and maybe... Like, this is what I do for a project. I'll make great characters, and then I'll look back. I'm like, okay, do I have enough diversity in here? Is this a believable world? Do I need to switch it up? And what I love about the three main characters, between Lucy, Maximus, and the Ghoul, like, we have a strong female character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lucy's very much, like, she seems just like a main character, a yeah. main player, a main NPC, but, like, female form. And we haven't seen that from any Fallout game where the main character is specifically female.
Right.
You can be female in all of them. At least, I know 4 for sure.
Yeah, 3 and 4 you can.
3 and 4, I thought you... Yeah, so like, in a way, they are female, but like, this one's specifically female. Mm-hmm. Maximus, African-American, and the Ghoul... technically is a minority character, even though he was white and played by a white character. He is probably the most discriminated species yeah. in the Fallout world.
Yeah, he's a mutant. He's a ghoul.
Yeah.
He's hated by everybody.
Mm-hmm. So he hated by Vol-Tec,
mm-hmm.
even though he's the Vol-Tec guy.
Yeah, yeah, I love that he's Vault Boy. That was great.
I kind of love it, too. What did you think about Maximus' story in The Brotherhood of Steel?
I mean, Maximus was kind of the least exciting character, I think.
You know what I thought of Maximus? He's the asshole who would blow up Megaton.
Yeah.
Just so you can have a comfy living in mm-hmm. the suite. And I don't, I feel like they made him purposely for that, like that, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't seem like a good person.
No.
Where, like, Lucy... Maybe they were trying to... I think they maybe were trying to hit on the karma system a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. Lucy's straight good. She's yep. good karma. Cooper, the ghoul, is straight bad karma character.
Yeah.
And Maximus is that neutral one.
Mm-hmm.
Where I do some bad things, I do good things.
Yep.
I just am kind of looking out for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, very much looking for himself. I love the arc of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy is... I love her. She's I guess, like, I'm hinting at my MVC a little bit. But Lucy's just, like, the character that I just... She reminds me of Zooey Deschanel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like, I kept, like, double-taking. Like, is this Zooey Deschanel? I'm like, she's too old to be playing, like, this young of a character. I just thought, like, acting-wise, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like, goody two-shoes but badassery, like, was played off really well. I love her arc of just, like... Especially when she meets Maximus again... For the second time, and I guess officially the first time, because I don't think they met face to face. But like the whole, I can't trust everybody up here, mm-hmm. so I can't quite be like, I'm like, it's just continually growing. Yeah. And then Maximus is like the backwards. He's kind of selfish, kind of a bad person, but also like has decent intentions. Like he's so hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that he's so fucking old looking, but he's like, it seems like his character is younger than
that. He's supposed to be like 20.
He's 35 and he looks 40.
Yeah, I think Lucy's arc takes off from Vault Dweller to like hero after the incident with her trying to get her organs harvested.
Yep.
Yeah, I think once that point hit, you're like, alright, Lucy's fully a wastelander now.
Yeah. What's her name? Do you think, because every like protagonist has a name, I kind of forget. Lone Wanderer, Survivor.
The Courier.
Courier. Is it Courier? I thought it was something else.
It was the Courier in New Vegas.
Yeah. Courier, Lone Wanderer, Survivor. There's just a couple other names.
Yeah.
What do you think Lucy's would be?
The Vault Dweller.
Vault Dweller?
Yeah, because I think that was what she got called the most.
Yeah. I'm curious. I wonder if they like actually, if it is Vault Dweller, or if they have like an actual official name for her outside of Lucy.
They might.
Goosey. Well, your name officially is a Goosey in the
mm-hmm. Vault 4.
I thought that was Chris Parnell too. Voice of Jerry from Rick and Morty. Voice of Cyril from Archer. I'm surprised Sapphire didn't like figure. I was like, I know that voice.
Yeah.
I just like seeing him in live action too, and just like hearing that voice be like, oh, hello, Goosey. And I'm like, shit, they went out for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right. Any negative things to say about this show? Let's switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, I was trying to think hard on that, and I think the best thing that I can come up with was that they leaned into the comedy a little too hard, whereas it started becoming too silly for a post-apocalypse. Yeah, minorly. Like, you did have that random funny goofy shit in the games,
mm-hmm.
but it was like, it was still pretty serious. It's like, you know, everyone's fighting to live, and this one, the comedy was good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was funny, but I think they were leaning too much on the silliness.
Maybe. I don't know if I had, like, that complaint about the silliness. I know there was, like, moments where, like, the silliness didn't quite land.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just feel like that's Fallout, too.
It is. And like I said, like, it's a minor...
Yeah.
It's a minor... That's, like, me stretching really far. Like, I just felt it was a little too, like, just this, like, a tad too silly.
This kind of goes into my rating a little bit, so I don't know if I want to save it or not when we do the ratings. I think my negatives, I'll just go with, since we're doing free flow, and then I'll retouch up on it when I do the official rating. My negatives were, I think it got a little, not boring, so to speak. But I think, like, after a while, like, after the initial, like, shock of it, and I got, like, used to everything, and got used to the characters, I think the story got a little dry and mystery-like.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was trying to, like, I was looking at, like, all the locations and everything that they went to and where they've been, and, like, it feels a little small looking back at it now. Whereas I wish they would have, like, either expanded the episode account a little bit, which, again, budget-wise, probably not possible, but I was very much like, I wish they either went with more of a serialized story, but like, I wish it was more cut or streamline or more like serious stuff in the middle of it, or I wish they went more episodic, because I kind of like the episodic nature of some of these episodes. Sure. But the other, I think my biggest negative, here's my biggest negative, and I'll say my other bit when I do the rating, because it kind of explains my rating a little bit. My biggest thing that I did not like about this show, and the one thing I was like, if they did not do this in season one, I would be somewhat disappointed. There was no death clause.
Yep. Yeah. That was actually going to be my next comment, was the only other, like, critique I had of it. There was not enough mutated monsters.
Yeah.
Because there were rad roaches.
Yep.
And there was the gulper.
Yagoi.
Oh, and the yagoi. Yeah. But yeah, that was the only three.
Yeah, gulpers, yagoi, and then rad roaches.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't remember anything
else.
No
mole rats.
No mole rats.
Yeah, that was another thing too, because I kind of like, I wrote like, biggest monsters we didn't get. No mutants.
No supermutants, yeah.
No rad scorpions. Mm-hmm. No deathclaws. No mole rats. I was trying to like think of like other, no cazadors, I think.
But we did get a deathclaw skull at the on the final scene.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah, because remember, he comes stomping over the mountain. Yeah. And then, yeah, he walks past the Deathclaw one, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. At least you hinted to that.
Yeah. I remember seeing it, but I didn't, like, acknowledge that it was my, what was it, perception, insight, history roll?
Yeah.
I failed on that.
Yeah, you didn't realize it was a Deathclaw skull?
I remember seeing it, like, I didn't, like...
I instantly, I was like, oh, sweet, Deathclaws, because...
I was too freaking out, but just Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I was going to do some more questions that I have, because I wrote down a bunch.
Sure.
And then I also wrote kind of like, I didn't write this, I just kind of copied and pasted from a different site, just the plot synopsis, so if we have to like go back into other episodes. So, best monster we've seen, since we're on the topic of monsters.
Oh, man. They did the monsters really well. I mean, I have to say Yagoi just because, like, gulpers I don't think exist in any of the games.
I remember seeing gulpers.
Were they in, like, 4 or something?
I think Fallout 4, they were big monsters. Were they? Sapphire was enjoying them.
Okay. I mean, they were cool as hell.
Yeah.
I love just the giant mutated axolotl with human fingers in its mouth. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
That's metal. But no, as soon as I saw the cave and the roaring, I'm like, oh, it's a Yagoi or Deathclaw. Yeah. One of those two.
I was thinking Deathclaw or maybe Supermutant, but I guess the roaring was like, I was thinking Deathclaw. I was like, oh, this is the moment. This is like, we're going to have Deathclaw. Because this is like, before the scene, that's when I'm like, I better see Deathclaw in season one, because that's like the most like Fallout monster you can get.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the epitome.
So I wasn't disappointed, because I think it was like, what, episode 2, episode 3? I got to spy it.
Yeah, I think episode 2, where they saw the Yagoi.
Yeah, it was episode 2. I like Titus. You know, you think of like brother.
Yeah, you think a noble knight paladin, and he's just like fuck, 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 and he's just running away from the Yagoi, is murdering him.
Do you recognize the actor who played him?
Yeah, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff.
Michael Rappaport.
Yeah,
I fucking love that dude. He's one of those dudes that like very much reminds me of Titus. I didn't realize that like. That it was him. I'm like, I feel like I know this guy from somewhere. And then mm-hmm. I saw on the Amazon Prime thing, it was Michael Rappaport.
I think it was a subtle hint to gamers, because I remember many times in Fallout 3 where I'm like, if I'm a new character and all of a sudden there's a Yagoi just randomly in the wasteland, I said the exact same thing that Titus said. And I would just be like, fuck, 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 run, 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 run. And, like, be bolting across the wasteland trying to get away from this stupid bear.
I think this actually might be what they were trying to do.
I think it was.
Michael Rappaport's, like, the perfect fucking, like, person to do it. Because he is, like, even though he's, like, a famous actor, he is very much just a dude. Like, mm-hmm. he is just chill as fuck. He's often, like, some of the sports shows that I go, he'll show up and he'll just yell at the guy. And... he was at the Trump, one of the Trump civil cases, and he was, like, swearing at, like, Trump fans. Uh-huh. It's like, fuck you, Trumpers. Like, fuck you, MAGA. Like, in the background, you don't belong in New York. I'm like, God, I fucking love this dude. So, when I saw it was him, like, good for him. I hope he's a big Fallout fan. I hope this is, like, a dream for him.
Yeah.
All right, best faction.
I enjoyed seeing the Brotherhood.
Yeah,
I love the Brotherhood.
I thought of you when I saw Brotherhood.
I did not. They pushed the religious aspect way more than in the show than they did ever in the games. Like, I never realized, like, because they are, they're supposed, they like revere technology as like holy, you know, objects and stuff like that. And then when I was like the whole like saging and the censors and like from the scribes, and I'm like, I never realized it was like this. It was like an old knightly order from like it's like the Templars led by the church, you know. So I think they did them well.
I didn't think so too, but I'm like, no, that makes sense. I'm like, they are wearing robes. They're like, yeah, this is like, it's like when the interpretation is too like too literal, you know. Like every other game has like more of a looser adaptation, but this is like, no, this is like literally what the Brotherhood's supposed to be.
That is what the true Brotherhood is like.
Yeah.
So like three, I think you have the most interactions with a Brotherhood. Like four, obviously you can choose to be with them. But they're just like a, one of the choice factions. Yeah. Like three revolves around the Brotherhood, and Elder Lions specifically left the Brotherhood and like started protecting the like the people of the Wasteland, the capital Wasteland. So like we've never really seen like the true dogmatic version of the Brotherhood represented truly.
No, not until I feel like maybe this show. So for me, I think Brotherhood was like the coolest to see. Vault Dwellers just being a faction and being a player or Vault Tech is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the NCR? The reveal that the Raiders, the big bad,
were the NCR remnants?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I liked that. I honestly was not guessing that until the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Like, and then you see the NCR flag in the background, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I kept seeing it. And that was my question. I'm like, where's the NCR? Where's the NCR? Where's the NCR? And we get a big, I'm just going to say it, bomb. Vore bomb. They got bombed.
By Lucy's dad.
Yeah. The main character's dad bombed the NCR, and the NCR is, at least for LA, not present, not around. And I thought that was, I'm like, holy shit, like, this show has balls.
Right.
Like, this is some big lore. Like, the NCR are, like, the main players. And that was my big question. Like, this is, I thought LA was, like, their big, their area. Where are they?
It was until Hank decided to blow him up.
Yeah.
Because his wife took his kids.
So that's, to me, I'm like, the remnants of the MCR are kind of like up there. That's like fun to see. But I think Brotherhood is the most interesting. I wrote the government.
Oh, yeah. The government, M-I-N-T.
I wrote it like that, too.
They reminded me of the regulators from Fallout 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, depending if you had good or bad karma, you'd get a message from the regulators or that really evil mercenary company, and they'd be like, hey, come join us or whatever.
I gotta play Fallout 3 more again.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's when I got purchased. I really want to play New Vegas again now, but we will get into that,
because the regulators, they all were cowboy dusters and cowboy hats.
Yeah,
and so they looked like the old west sheriffs, like the government was trying to be.
I was like are these the NCR Rangers at first? Like, that was my first thought. I'm like, that, because they also said we're the government, so I'm like, okay, is this like, is this what the NCR is now?
No, it just seemed like a bunch of stupid guys that were running a racket.
Yeah,
with like 10, you know, 10 dudes, and they got together, and they're the government for that little area. I love the fact that the lead farmers were wearing NCR Ranger helmets. I was like, at first, I saw them do it, like moving around, and I was like, NCR Rangers. And then no, it wasn't. It was just some lead farmers.
We have the Enclave too making an appearance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just the scientist character. I mean, it's cool to know that it exists.
Yeah, it's there. All right. I was gonna say favorite main character, but we'll say that the MC or MVP.
Okay.
Favorite moment.
There's so many good ones.
In a Fallout follow-up moment. Oh, man, the puns are coming on hot today. Follow-up question. Is there a moment that made you go, oh, damn, this is amazing?
The end scene.
End scene?
I just said, fuck yeah, out loud, like really loud. And I was like, yeah, I saw New Vegas. And I'm like, yep. And instantaneously, as soon as I saw that big tower, I'm like, it's New Vegas. Yeah. And I don't even like New Vegas that much. I just like the fact that they are incorporating the games into the show. Oh, yeah. Like scenes from the games. I love the hacking scene. Mm-hmm. When they were doing the hacking minigame.
Yep.
I forget the brother's name.
Norm.
Yep. When Norm was like hacking the Overseer's one. I love that. I just love the little Easter eggs that they threw in there randomly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was it? Oh, when they the realization that was the NCR, they did the location sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like the moment of like, how, like, you're here, you arrived, you've discovered something big. I'm like, oh, I love that they did it. I got chills.
Yeah.
For that scene. For me, I think the biggest, my favorite moment was just the bombs dropping in the first episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, just the, oh, shit.
Oh, a very, I think, deep cut one that I loved. So, you know that part where Thaddeus and Titus and Lucy all get to that radio station and it's the one playing the shitty fiddle music and he's just like making comments like no one wants to listen to me or whatever.
Yeah.
So in Fallout 3 you had Galaxy News Network and then you had Agatha's radio station and you could do a mission where like you only could get Agatha's station in this certain thing, and then if you found her this like rare violin from this vault and repaired her tower, she could broadcast everywhere. And Agatha's station was the one that everyone fucking hated because it was all just violin and fiddle tunes.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, so it was like, I appreciate the deep cut, boys. That one's
nice.
Good.
Nice. I didn't even catch that. That's awesome. Oh. I'm trying to think if there's any other moment. I think, like, the Yao guy was kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
Just, I also just thought, like, the power suit was just, like, a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it wasn't overpowered. Like, it was powerful, but it wasn't overpowerful.
It was almost its own character.
Yeah.
Like, Maximus and Knight Maximus were, like, two different characters.
Mm-hmm. And I like the deep voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, we have Knight Maximus. He's this cool hero. And it's like, nah, he's kind of a piece of shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think Maximus was the one who, like, cut his friend?
No.
I didn't know. I couldn't read it the first time. The second time I watched episode one, I was like, nah, it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I watched it, I was like, I can't read this character.
Yeah, I mean, it passed my mind, but I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I remember him freaking out when he was cleaning the shitters, and he, like, busted the toilet seat off, and... You know, it was all mad that she got picked instead of him. So, I mean, it crossed my mind, and I think they alluded to it pretty heavily. You know, like that whole interrogation with him and the knight and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wasn't quite sure.
I also loved it. Like, hey, did you kill him? Did you not kill him? Oh, okay, well, good boy. You're going to be this. You're replacing him. You get what you wanted.
Yep. Another favorite thing where Cooper finally calls the dog meat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool. I love that.
Nice. Dog meat.
I don't know if you noticed this one either. This one's a little, it's not really deep cutty from the game, but the toilet seat was very important. Came full circle. So he started off with the toilet seat.
Yep.
Because he was, you know, burning poop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fought and got his armor back. And remember, he had a pair of clippers or like a big like tongs, metal tongs. And then he had a toilet seat as a weapon.
I saw that. I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't think of it as like a full circle, which is ironic because it's not a full circle. It's a horseshoe. I like it. All right. Favorite location. Like of all, and when I say location, I mean like not necessarily like the city of Los Angeles, but just like the little things. So I kind of wrote out all the locations, Super Duper Mart, the Vault Triangle, so Vault 333 through 31, Vault 4, Griffith Observatory at the end, Hollywood, what's left of Hollywood, Red Rocket Gas Station, the Radio Tower, Philly, and then the Enclave Facility. What was like the one location you were just really happy to get? The
Super Duper Mart.
Yeah.
I love that. Because that's your first mission that you go on in 3 once you make it to Megaton. You got to go like find, or you got to get work for that lady's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm like, sweet, Super Duper Mart, perfect.
Yeah.
And it was like the same as it was in 3 because it was just a raider stronghold or like a criminal stronghold, mm-hmm. essentially. A little different. Obviously, they were making chems there, but still like the same vibe. I just appreciated all those locations that you see in the games. Like, they showed them at least once.
Yeah.
The Red Rocket gas station, Super Duper Mart.
Did we miss? Is there like one thing that we missed? Or like the show missed for a location? I was trying to think. Like, we have a radio tower. We have. We have like one of the famous landmarks. We got a couple of them, which I think every Fallout location, the famous landmarks are like huge.
Maybe a Robco facility.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Nuka-Cola. Any Nuka-Cola facility.
Yeah.
That's actually a criticism. There was not enough Nuka-Cola in there. Yeah. Like, for as inundated as it was, I was slightly happier at the very, very last scene where it was like Hollywood after the lights came back on from the cold fusion, and it had the big lit up Hollywood sign, and then finally said sponsored by Nuka-Cola, and I was like, okay, that's better.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, they did have the Nuka-Cola machines all like over, you know, spattered out, but I was like, I feel like the Nuka-Cola was not as represented as it is in the game. Yeah. Like, it's a main part of the game.
It is.
That's where you get your currency from.
It's Nuka-Cola. I do like that they had like the bottle caps too, and they're like, oh, and I like how, like, what was it? What was he asking for?
He had to like recharge that little capacitor or something. Yeah. And she's like, 5 caps. He's like, I got 4. Nah.
I'm like, god damn, only 5 caps? Like, that seems really inexpensive compared to the video games. But I feel like real lore, like, god damn, 5, like, if you're going to hold on to like thousands of caps, like, that gets heavy. Not necessarily quickly, but like, if you're going to have like thousands of caps, like, damn. Like, you have your own like cap purse. So.
Oh, they also did play off the giant backpacks, because that was always a criticism of every game, like, of its type.
Yeah.
Where they're like, where do you carry all this shit? And so I was like, okay, they completely did the giant backpacks for that reason.
Let's talk weapons from what we saw. I haven't wrote that down, but I just thought of it. Because you said backpack, equipment, weapons.
The junk jet.
I thought the junk jet.
Where the dude shot the baby arm into the guy's chest, and I was like, thank you.
I didn't think of it right away. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Zephyr just said this like similar thing too the second time we watched it. And she's like, what the fuck? I'm like, junk jet. Because like, I saw the weapon, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
And then they had a junk jet for sale in the old lady's shop on the wall. I like the 10mm pistol. They played that one off a lot.
Yeah, trank gun. Was that a reference to something?
No, I don't remember there ever being a trank gun. The Ripper. It's the little chainsaw sword that she cut the dude's head off with. Which, why the hell didn't she still have that in the wasteland? Because it never showed up again. And I was like, that would be a really handy thing to have.
Yeah. You have to carry it everywhere, though. Maybe she just
left it like, there. It was like this. It was like a baton, and it folded up.
Well, she's had a giant backpack.
That's true.
She had literally had to carry it everywhere. That's so true. And also, just not her style.
I suppose she's not really a melee guy.
No. That's a good question, like, what everyone's, like, type is. Lucy's... She's more pistols. Maximus, definitely the heavy armor tank dude. Gunslinger, obviously, for the ghoul. She honestly just feels like a player who just does what she needs to do for the moment.
I like the fact that, like, they played off in the show, too. Like, they never had the same weapon, but minus the ghoul. He had his same two weapons. But, like, Lucy and Maximus never had the same gun for more than an episode.
Yeah.
Like, they'd lose it, they'd find a better one. Like, I thought that was really cool, because, like, in the game, your guns always broke down, and you had to either repair them or, you know, whatever.
You never had the same gun, or, like, you run out of ammo. Like, it's, at least for what I was playing, even today when I was playing it, like, I kept running out of ammo. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, all right, well, this gun isn't working. Let's try this gun. End up with a Chinese sword. I'm like, I'm just going to melee everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. Is there anything we haven't covered? Weapons, locations,
factions.
Before we get into like season two type stuff,
or our favorite characters.
Favorite characters that's coming soon.
That's coming soon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, let's do our rating.
Okay. Our rating.
All right. Rating time.
Okay.
You want to go first or should I?
Yeah, I'll go first. I thought a lot about it today in the last couple days. 100% solid 4+.
4+.
Yep.
Where do you think I'm leaning?
You're probably in the 4 range. I would say 4 or 4-.
4+.
4+. Okay.
4+. Give me your reasoning first.
The only reason that it's not a 5 is because, like I said before, I think the comedy was a little too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my personal opinion, that it made it a little too silly. Yeah. And then the lack of monsters.
Yeah. I think that's good, right? That's actually really similar to like Last of Us for me. They didn't have enough clickers.
Yeah.
And like they did that on purpose, but I'm like, no, you gotta like show me at least like a little bit of it. It doesn't have to be a big plot thread. Just show me that they dealt with clickers.
Mm-hmm.
For me though, for Fallout, 4+. I thought it was great. I thought acting was amazing.
Yeah. Acting and, like, was superb.
And like it was, it's not like we got big actors.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of like Walter Goggins is probably the biggest actor in this show, but he's not. He's always been like the second or third guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been like a main guy. And he's
the only thing I remember him from wasn't he in Sons of Anarchy?
Justified, I think.
Was it Justified too? I thought he was in Sons of Anarchy though.
He's voicing Cecil in Invincible right now, mm-hmm. which is a show that we just got done covering. He's in a lot of things. I think he's in Ant-Man, too. Ant-Man and the Wasp, the second Ant-Man 2 movie.
But yeah, no, there weren't really any big actors.
I forget the girl who plays Lucy.
I've never seen her in anything else. I think
her name's Ella. I haven't seen her in much. She actually voiced a character in Invincible. Not a big character, not a character that, like, I don't even know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking through the casting. I was looking at Maximus, too. Because I think I recognize him, but I don't really recognize him. Moldova, I didn't really recognize.
Who's the dad? He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Kyle McLean or mm-hmm. McLaurin. Yeah, he's in a lot of things. Moldova, I recognize her, but she's not, like, a bit. She was in Jessica Jones. It's the only thing I, like, really remember her from. Walter Goggins is the only one I really remember. Otherwise, there was Michael Rapaport, obviously, in the cameo role. Chris Parnell, obviously. And then the dude who played Woody. Forget his name. But I just know him as he's like the dude that goes, "Spider-Man, do a backflip!" Like, he's that guy. And I just like that he was just there as a vault dweller. Mm-hmm. That was just cool.
Betty. Is from Deadpool. It's his roommate,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't recognize
The blind cokehead.
So, yeah, 4+ for me. The biggest reason why, like, it's not higher, because I think everything is great. And honestly, I think, like, just the consistency of everything, 4+. It's easy. Almost a 5. The reason why I haven't put it in 5 category yet, in season 2, season 3, season 4, like, how many ever seasons they do, might put it up there. It's just there's no like elite moment for me. There's no moment that I'm just like, oh damn, yes, fuck yes.
One thing came close to was the ending fight.
Yeah,
like with the NCR and the Brotherhood, I was like, that was damn cool.
It was cool,
but it wasn't like hype level. It, you know,
it didn't. It wasn't. I was more confused. I was trying to figure things out rather than me being like, "Yeah." I was still trying to process what was happening.
Sure.
And I think that was the biggest like issue with that fight is like, I didn't quite get caught up yet to really enjoy that fight scene.
I bet you if we rewatch it a second time, it would be much more enjoyable.
I think so, yeah.
I liked how they portrayed the knights being like super strong, mm-hmm. but then they would get hit by an anti-tank missile.
Yeah.
And then they would go down, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, they're really hard to kill, but they're not impossible.
Yeah.
Oh, another critique I had. Thaddeus had some plot armor. Or not Thaddeus. Maximus had some plot armor. So the initial fight with the ghoul, like, Cooper is just, like, blowing bullets left and right at him. I mean, they're just bouncing off of him, right? Mm-hmm. The moment they're at the observatory, he's, like, at the stairs, and he's like, do you remember that one fatal flaw from back in the war? And so he knew about this fatal flaw the entire time.
Yeah.
And he just one-shots that knight that's standing there. He pulls out his pistol, hits right in the weak spot of the armor, drops him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you do that to Maximus?
Yeah.
Plot armor. It's plot armor is the only reason. But that was that was one of the inconsistencies that I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. I didn't like that.
I remember that scene. It was like, oh, that's cool. But it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Right. Like, it was like, clearly he knew that forever.
Yeah. It'd be cooler if like he hit there and like Maximus got hurt there, but it was like maybe he grazed it or like for some reason he was able to like survive it, but then it came back. And maybe they did this. I mean, we don't know. But if they did it, it was so subtle that it, like,
I mean, they hinted at it when he cut the like breathing tube.
Yeah.
He's like, there's always, you know, a weakness or whatever.
I think the answer is he's not that terrible of a person. And he just wanted to incapacitate him rather than kill him. But then again,
he's a shithead. Like, right now, he's evil. He would have killed him.
Yeah.
It was plot armor. It was 100% plot armor.
Yeah. I'm trying to be devil advocate.
Oh, yeah. Like, no,
how do you explain it narratively? I'm sure if you ask the showrunner, Jonathan Nolan, he would come up with some reason. Well, like, right. It's part of his character.
Yeah, he didn't really want to kill him.
It's like, okay, you didn't really write that, but you can't ask for perfection.
You can't. And there always has to be a certain level of plot armor for your main characters. Otherwise, you'd not have a TV show.
All right. MVP? MVC?
Okay. You first this time. I gave my ratings first.
I wrote 5 out. I'm only really happy with 3, and really it's up to 2 for me.
Oh, I gotta come up with more than shit. Okay.
I usually just make a list. Oh. But some TV shows, some seasons of television, like, there's a huge list. Like, Avatar usually has, like, there's like 5 to 7.
I suppose you can break it down into
tiers,
or like main characters, supporting characters, side characters, that sort of stuff.
But sometimes I like to put villains up there too.
Yeah.
Like, which character is stealing the scenes? Which character is making me want to watch this? Sure.
I gotta point out one thing here.
Yes.
Just because this has been on my mind the entire time. My money is that Betty Pearson is Cooper's wife from the vault. The lady that gets elected overseer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Betty Pearson is secretly.
I was wondering where she is. I thought, like, maybe at first Moldova. I'm like, no, that would have been... Like, there's not the same actress, plus, like, you would have put 2 and 2 together. I was wondering where she was.
And it might just be because they're both African-American female actresses, you know? But, like, I was like, the way that she was...
about it.
The way that Betty was so, like, in deep and, like, secretive and, like, you know, like, cutthroat and, like, just very smart and tactful and like everything. Yeah. I was like, that's a lot like the wife.
Yeah.
And so I'm almost like, you know, maybe she changed her name to protect herself and her daughter from Cooper. Like, if she knew that he was alive, potentially.
Well, I mean, Cooper literally was like, McClane. Sounds familiar. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good theory. It's a good, that's it. I guess not theory, but...
It's a good thought.
Thought.
It's a possibility.
Possibility. Shit. What is the... what is the word? Science. Twist. Not science. It's,
twist?
I'm blinking. Before theories. Guess.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the actual word that is guess. I'm blinking. ADHD's a bitch, people. So here's my list.
Sorry.
So,
yep. I just had to get that tangent out.
No, good. No. Good thoughts. So I have CX4, I think it's 404, dog meat. I am at 5. He's a good boy. He deserves mansion.
Yeah, he does.
Woody's 4. I just thought he was the fun.
Like, who's Woody?
Woody, he's like the big buck with the afro. He's in the vault.
Oh, yeah, the council member.
Yeah, I just... when he's talking about, like, you ran a good race. I thought 10 posters would do it.
And then, yeah, it was the gentleman that showed me his butthole when he's talking to the Raiders or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty good.
I just like that actor. Maximus is 3. I think he's interesting. He's not necessarily, like, my favorite character, though. Mm-hmm. He's just more like... He's just like that... He's a douchebag, almost. But he's not like a douchebag. I don't know how to describe him. He's just like...
He's the neutral character.
Neutral.
He literally is the neutral... He's the neutral playthrough.
Yeah. No, I get it. He totally would blow up Megaton, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. If he had a reason to. Mm-hmm. Which, in Ball 3, he did. That's how I see him. Mm-hmm. 1 and 2 is between the Ghoul and Lucy for me. And I think I have Ghoul as 2.
Okay.
I really like Lucy.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it plenty of times here already. Her character is just like the good playthrough, but like she's interesting. Her arc is, like I said it before, her being good to survivalist. And I just like how she approaches every situation with like more optimism than everybody else around her. Mm-hmm. And she just generally tries to do a good thing, but it anytime like she comes up on a situation, I'm just like, ooh, yes. This is not going to go well, and I want to see how it's like how it unfolds.
She had really bad speech skill.
Huh?
She had a bad speech skill.
She really does. I mean, it makes sense. She's her special score everywhere else is really good. Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's a scene where they talk about it. I did not catch it enough.
Didn't they talk about it right at the beginning?
Yeah, right at the beginning of episode 1.
She's like, my science skill is this and that.
Yeah.
And my, you know, whatever skill. And my hand-to-hand unarmed combat is good. And it showed her, like, judo flipping some dudes. Yeah.
She's a good fighter. Speech skills. Her charisma is not so high.
Mm-hmm.
I forget if they actually say what her speech skill is.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. Who's your MVP?
My top 2 are the same as yours. They're just a different order.
You have the Ghoul.
I love Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper's the shit. And honestly, he's the most relatable to me because if I lost my family in the pre-war and I am stuck in this eternal purgatory, like, yeah, I wouldn't want to die, but I also would become incredibly, like, angry.
Yeah.
And I would stop giving a shit about him. I would stop caring about humanity, and I would probably be a lot like him, honestly.
Yeah. I think a lot of us can agree with that. We got to decide between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy or Ghoul?
As far as MVP character?
MVP character.
Okay.
I feel like I'm stuck on Lucy as one. I thought I was going to go Ghoul, to be honest with you, the first so many episodes.
Yeah, the other reason why I like Cooper is because we got to see him pre-war too. So like there was so much depth to his character, like him being attached to Vault-Tec.
Yeah.
And like his wife being the like one of the main people that are behind this whole evil corporation.
Yeah.
And just like the internal conflicts that he must be going through. I don't know. I really like Cooper.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a fair choice to say that they're both equally good characters. They are the main characters,
yeah.
I think, and I think...
Well, Maximus is there.
He's a main character, but he's a secondary main character.
Yeah. What do you think about Lucy immediately? He's just like, oh, Maximus, I'm all for you. We're good friends now. We can fuck anytime. We can have...
Yeah, what was the exploding penis thing about? Was that because they were like playing off that they were all like hopped up on pheromones or something?
Well,
or...
I don't think they're allowed to have sex, right? Brotherhood?
No.
Yeah. So they're not allowed to have sex. So I don't necessarily know like what the in-joke was.
I think it had something to do with Vault-Tec experiments. Because when they panned out, it said test subjects.
Yeah.
So I'm almost wondering if they were, like, testing these people. And I feel like they were... Because I remember there being a vault where they pumped pheromones into the vault continuously.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm almost wondering, like, because that was uncharacteristic of both of them. Because Lucy's not just like, hey, you know, randomly, let like come bang me or whatever.
I mean, she's pretty open to
She's open to it, but like...
There was also the scene, too, in the same cult where they all get naked. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, no. And I thought that was weird because I'm like, you know, everything I've seen before, she's pretty sexually progressive.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they were like playing off on the Vault-Tec experiments.
Oh.
And that's because like literally they're just like, yeah, and then your penis explodes. And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure that happens every time and it's okay. it was a funny scene either way.
It was good. It was well done. I thought it was interesting that she offered and he's the one who's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Just the playoff like what is usually happens.
Right.
That's a good theory though. I didn't think of that. I've been thinking on like the test subjects. That's been like one of those things where like, what did that mean? I didn't quite grasp what it meant. But that would track.
Mm-hmm.
That is more of a smaller Easter egg type of thing rather than an actual
plot device.
Yeah. What would happen if it was like a group of men with pheromones?
I guess they'd all be gay. They'd all be, you know.
Drugs make you made me gay.
The liberal media turning the vaults gay.
You know what we could do? Because since it took our jobs.
Back to the pile.
All right. Should we get into the lore questions?
Sure.
All right. So, Dad is going to New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really talked timeline.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lore, a lot of stuff, a lot of questions on New Vegas, specifically. This is what I've looked into it. So, timeline-wise, it's about 200 years after the First Great War. 219 years for this show. Fallout 3 is exactly 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
The bombing of Sandy Shores was exactly 200 years. Fallout New Vegas is 2281. Fallout 4 is 2287. The show is 2296.
It's after New Vegas.
13 years? Wait, 15 years. After New Vegas.
The show is 15 years after
New Vegas. 15 years after New Vegas. So, we're going to New Vegas, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, a character is going to New Vegas. And I think one, a lot of people are questioning if New Vegas is, like, completely not canon anymore. I know producers have stated that it is still mm-hmm. canon. And also, Vault-Tec propaganda should not always be taken at face value. So... But we know Sandy Shores has been blown up. In New Vegas, there is no mention of this, and they mention Sandy Shores often from the NCR.
But you said the show's after New Vegas, or is it before?
The show is after New Vegas.
Well, that would
but make... the bombing is before New Vegas. That makes sense.
Oh.
So the show... So the bombing happens in 2277.
Okay.
Vegas happens in 2281.
Four years after.
So if everything's accurate from what we've been told, New Vegas would probably mention the fact that NCR Capital is blown up.
Is gone.
But there is no mention of this. Which, if it wasn't for the fact that they're 3 hours away, at least by car travel, you know, relatively close, heavy on the relative part of it, that would have been mentioned. So it seems like a huge oversight. And they're like, no. It's possible that the bomb happened later.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm taking it as the bomb happened after New Vegas.
That's what it would make. It would be a simple fix.
Yeah. So my big question, right? What's going on with New Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
What is lore?
Well... there's not any lore because New Vegas is a game with like four choices, so we don't know what's going on in New Vegas.
What do you think is going on?
Well, if they fix the timeline, I say that House won and House is still there.
Yeah, I have a feeling NCR is still a big player in New mm-hmm. Vegas. And I have a feeling I would say they own the. No, I think House owns the dam.
I think House runs everything because the dad, Hank, retreats to New Vegas purposely. So that tells me that New Vegas is a Vault-Tec stronghold of some sort.
Yes.
And so that would imply that House has to be alive.
Or someone who's an ally of House.
Of House is alive.
Which could technically be a courier.
Or it could be Cooper's wife.
Could be Cooper's wife. Could be Benny.
Yeah.
Shit. It couldn't be Benny.
No, Matthew Benny's Perry's dead.
Rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
Rip.
And Benny, yeah, mostly dies in, I think, every playthrough?
I think so.
Or does he survive?
I don't remember.
No.
I just remember my character had sex with him and then murdered him in a cut scene.
You had sex with him?
Yeah.
No.
Black, if you have a Black Widow perk and you're a female.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can go up and bang him. And then instead of having to, like, fight him and steal the chip from him, it's just literally a black scene and, like, they're talking in the background. Mm-hmm. And just like, and then all of a sudden it says, like, poker chip added to your inventory. And then you're in Benny's bedroom and he's dead.
Nice.
But yeah, only if you have the Black Widow perk.
Only if you... Okay. I think I've heard something about that. All right. Yeah. Do you think we're getting Legion?
I hope so.
I thought of you. When I saw the New Vegas, I'm like, Tom's going to be wanting to see Legion.
It's such a good bad guy.
Yeah.
It's such an easily hateable bad guy that they can...
Do you think there's a chance that Legion actually runs the NCR and works for the Vaults? Like, they're siding for... Like, the Vault Dwellers are, like, aiding Legion because they wipe out everybody else.
Could be.
Yeah. So many questions. We can see the Great Khans, NCR, House. Power is restored to LA.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the ramifications of that is?
I don't know.
I mean, that means NCR's somewhat coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think.
I would think so.
I hope so. I want them to be a player. I'd be sad if they're gone.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a huge opportunity. Maximus is now a hero.
Yep.
What's next for Brotherhood?
Well, I mean, obviously they're going to take the cold fusion technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it also could mean, too, that they're just going to detach it, throw it in a vault, and never use it.
Yeah.
And so... LA is just back exactly to square one,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they started at. My assumption is that at least Maximus is going to go after Lucy.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have really much ideas, I guess, what the Brotherhood specifically is going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might just end up making LA a stronghold for themselves. They killed the NCR. They have the cold fusion.
Mm-hmm.
They now have the opportunity to recruit and expand and find all that pre-war tech that's scattered around.
Brotherhood owns LA. That would be... It works. Mm-hmm. Tracks.
Yeah.
With NCR possibly being in other locations. Speaking of other locations, we're heading to New Vegas, it seems like.
Yep.
Are we getting other locations in the future? Would you imagine that?
I would imagine that, yeah.
Do you think we're getting older locations, or do you think we're getting new locations, or a mixture of both?
I think we're getting a mixture of both. I think we're going to get some fresh stuff in there, but I feel like...
Like Philly.
Yeah. I mean, Philly was basically like Megaton.
That was my...
Essentially.
I was like, ooh, this reminds me of Megaton. Sapphire's big Fallout 4. This reminds me of Diamond City. I'm like... I see both.
Yep.
I see both.
Yeah, they're just both, like, hastily made scrap cities.
Yeah.
Philly's more, like, they literally were a junkyard, though, right?
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got from it. Like, mm-hmm. they literally got built on top of a junkyard.
I was trying to think, like, where Philly was exactly, like, location of everything. I know it's L.A. I just didn't, like...
Outside of L.A. so lightly. Well,
L.A.'s huge.
Right. Because basically 33 was in Santa Monica. Because as soon as she got out, you got the Santa Monica Boulevard or, you know, the boardwalk or whatever it is with the big Ferris wheel and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I also just, the wasteland itself was like very much wasteland. Like everything was just
too,
like,
many trees.
Too many trees.
Too many trees. There was too many living trees. Like when Maximus and Thaddeus, or not Thaddeus, Titus were like first dropped down and they were walking through. Yeah. And I was like, there's too many green trees. So too many green trees. Like,
yeah.
Like in the lore, people don't even know what trees were because they're dead.
Yeah.
At least in three, the only places that like plants lived was the oasis.
Yeah.
Otherwise, trees were literally just these like scarred husk things that were every, you know. I think four had more.
Yeah, it was more like during the fall, it seemed like.
But then I guess that maybe makes sense, because obviously if there's a war, DC is going to get
bombed
hard.
Yeah, and Los Angeles, even though like it got bombed hard, I don't know if like the 5-6 bombs that dropped was enough to cover the area. Right. The area is just that huge.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about a much bigger area overall than DC.
I mean, LA, the LA Southern California area is like half of Minnesota size. Like it's pretty big.
Because, yeah, even if they dropped the same amount of bombs on DC as they did in California, just the sheer landmass is going to make a massive difference.
Plus mountains, too, can block a lot of different things as well. I'm trying to think of where else we'd go. Like, New Vegas, obviously. We have Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Reno, probably Fallout 2 locations. I think there's any chance we go East Coast.
I think we could.
Fallout 3.
I think DC is a contender.
Yeah. Fallout 4, maybe Brotherhood, Maximus storyline.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point Pittsburgh or Anchorage.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. I'm trying to think if there's any other like big lore stuff that we've missed. No, I think that's it. I don't. Anything else, Tom? Lore wise, show wise.
No, I was very thrilled. I was extremely happy with it.
Yeah. I want more of this. I think we're in like a new era of media. I think we just are done with superheroes. Like we still got them. But that was like the hype. That was like the everyone gets excited about. But I think after last year and now going into this year, I think proper adaptations of either animation or anime, animated shows, or video games has been huge.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it because there's a lot of great stories. I think me and you both just feel it. There's so many great stories to be told in this media specifically. Adapting video games.
Yeah, I think nerd culture is finally like becoming mainstream, which I don't know if it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's just a lot of stuff that was nicher is now like because it's good. Because like they write amazing stuff.
D&D is like becoming huge now when it was more niche. Star Wars is probably past its peak now. But yeah, video games. Last of Us last year was amazing. Twisted Metal was a surprise. I don't think anyone realized that show was going to be great.
Was it actually good?
I gave it a 4.
Nice.
It's very much reminds me of Fallout in like the whole video games that are post-apocalyptic. They do well. Just the idea of like it's the apocalypse. Everybody has cars, and they're just explaining the lore of, like, why the fuck there's going to be a tournament anyway. And instead of, like, being this serious show, it was very gritty. It was, like, gritty, funny, but, like, cartoony. Plus, who is it? Tom Arnold? Will Arnett did the voice of Sweet Tooth.
Okay.
And he was just fucking hilarious. Sweet Tooth, like a murderous clown who's like just buying for everybody's attention. And like that's how people survive is just by applauding his horrific actions. It's just fucking comedy, especially when it's Will Arnett's voice. But yeah, I like this turn in the medium that we're getting like proper video game adaptations. Not just good adaptations, great and proper. Because I feel like there's a world where we get a Fallout adaptation that's amazing, but not quite like our Fallout. Like, oh, it's a good story, but it's like, yeah, it's not Fallout.
Yeah, they hit the Fallout feel in the series, which was amazing.
And I've been telling a couple of people the last days, and I'm telling everybody listening to this, if you haven't watched it and you're still trying to figure out to watch it, it's a must watch. Yeah.
If you played any of the games, 100% you will enjoy it.
It's a must watch. If you haven't,
even if you haven't, it's a good.
You're gonna want to after you watch it,
right?
Because it's that good. So, all right, I guess we can call it up. It's under the 2 hours.
Perfect.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Anytime.
All right, and everybody listening, thank you for listening, I guess. And
thank you for tuning in to Galaxy News Radio. This is Three Dog. Ow!
Beautiful.